we Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, Coordinator for Stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship, lcms.org/stewardship.
We've won the gay marriage battle. Are we now going to neuter the First Amendment for people who still disagree with us?
I think it's always a temptation for us as Christians to want to find some sort of ideological system or economic system that will make us completely comfortable in our skin in this fallen world.
A Bible sermon is one in which the preacher is giving us information. So they're telling us about roads in Palestine. They're telling us about cultures. But that is not necessarily for me.
Hi, this is Eric, and I'm a steel worker from Pittsburgh, PA. With some noise reduction headphones and the new iPhone app, I listen to Issues Etc. all day long.
You can look at Islam as it's kind of a freestanding religion. It's got its own history. It has its own cultural connections to the time of, well, what it calls its originator, its prophet, its revelator, Muhammad. You can look at it that way and probably gain a fair understanding about it. But of course, Islam grows up in a time where it's not the only religion in town. In fact, the religion in town is, well, in some ways, other than the native religions of Muhammad, Christianity. But is it Orthodox Christianity? Everyone recognizes that there's some relationship there. Muslims would say, we believe in Jesus. We believe he was born of a virgin, that he did not sin, that he was a Messiah, that he's a great prophet of God, that he performed miracles. We believe that he's going to come again at the end of time to judge. Is it possible that Islam is, in fact, a heresy of Christianity? We're going to answer that question for the next half hour or so here on Issues Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon, July the 15th. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin, and thanks for tuning us in. A little bit later, Deaconess Elizabeth Allman will join us. We'll talk about Old Testament matriarch Ruth. She's remembered on the 16th of July. And Dr. Matt Phillips will walk us through some of the history of the First Crusade that began on this date, or actually a significant event on this date, the seizing of Jerusalem in 1099. He's Associate Professor of History at Concordia University, Nebraska. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest, pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. And he made a presentation at last week's Higher Things Youth Conference titled Islam as a Christian Heresy. Brian, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Well, it's great to be here, Todd.
Do you think it's a helpful way of looking at Islam as a heresy of Christianity?
I think it's the only way to look at it, is to see that Islam is truly a Christian heresy. We need to understand these statements of Islam, that they make the claim that they believe in Jesus. They say no Muslim is a good Muslim if he does not believe in Jesus. And they teach that they believe in Jesus with all their hearts because that's what Muhammad told them to do, taught them to do. And that they love Jesus, and that they are followers of Jesus. In fact, they make the claim that they are better followers of Jesus than Christians. And so we need to be very clear that this is not merely just one of many different world religions, but in particular, it's a Christian heresy. And within the church, this is the way that the church has seen this ever since the 8th century, when John of Damascus, the great early church theologian, in his writing, The Fount of Knowledge, he labeled the Islamites, as he called them, the followers of Muhammad, as those who were following the descendancy of Islam, that they are the 100th heresy. And so John of Damascus, back in the 8th century, begins to outline the Muslim beliefs. And in particular, he's looking at the Islamic Christology, concentrating on the crucifixion. And he's the first one to suggest that they borrow from the Gnostics, the Gnosticism in early 2nd century to late 1st century heresy. In fact, in our Lutheran church, in our Augsburg Confession back in 1530, in the very first article where we confess, we teach, and we believe in the triune God, we make it very clear that we reject and condemn all heresies which have sprung up against this article. And in that list of litany of those such heresies throughout the ages, we list the Mohammedans, that is, the followers of Muhammad. So the Lutheran Church, the Orthodox Church, has seen Islam as a Christian heresy for centuries.
Okay, let's define the word a little bit, heresy, because sometimes it's tossed out and applied in a very slipshod kind of a way, a very inaccurate kind of way. When we say heresy, we're not just talking about kind of a deviation from the norm, are we?
Yeah, very good. When we say heresy here, we in particular, we mean a heretical teaching on the person and work of Christ. So it is a new teaching on who Jesus is and what Jesus does. And so if you track through the heresies, the Christological heresies through the first few centuries, you see these different new teachings about the person and work of Christ that spring up in Gnosticism, Adoptionism, and Arianism, and Nestorianism. And so you constantly have these new teaching, and that's what we mean by the heretical, that it's a false Christology, a false teaching on who Jesus is and what Jesus does.
Now, what does, rather than saying what does Islam affirm about Jesus, because that makes it sound like they're kind of close but no cigar, what do they say about Jesus with all of their own meanings injected into it? What do they affirm about Jesus, at least on the face of it, that kind of sounds like it could be Christianity?
Well, when you go through the list of what they teach about Jesus, it sounds very similar to the Apostles' Creed. And they start off by affirming the virgin birth. And so they say that Jesus is the son of Mariam. I mean, that's who they call Mary, is Mariam. And just a side note on that, in the Quran, there's a confusion there for Muslims because they think that Mary is actually the sister of Moses and Aaron, because it's a sloppy understanding of Mariam from the Old Testament and Mary in the New Testament. But they, right off the bat, they say that they believe in the virgin birth. But we need to be clear that even though this sounds like we have more in common with the Muslims than we do with the liberal higher critics of Protestantism, we know that they have a completely different narrative of how Jesus was born. So he's born out in the desert under a palm tree, and initially at his birth, he's already speaking, and he's already talking to Mary, Miriam. But so there's a similarity, but there's a different narrative of the actual birth of Jesus, which they get from one of these heretical Christian false gospels that they add into their teaching. And so they teach that Jesus is born of a virgin. They teach that he's sinless. Ironically, they don't even teach that Muhammad is sinless, but they affirm that Jesus is sinless, and they even say that he is the long-awaited Messiah of the Jews. And they even claim that Jesus performed miracles, unlike Muhammad, who did not. But the one key issue here is that they say that Jesus did not die, that Jesus was not crucified. And this is where John of Damascus hits the head of the nail here, and he says that this is the point of contrast. This is the false Christology. It's a different Jesus, a Jesus who did not die to atone for sins. So it's a Jesus who, instead of being crucified, only appeared to be crucified and ascended into heaven and will come again to be the righteous judge.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. We're answering the question, is Islam a Christian heresy? He's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. And he made a presentation on this subject at last week's Higher Things Youth Conference titled Islam as a Christian Heresy. We'll be right back.
This is Pastor Clint Poppe, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska, proud supporter of Issues Etc. Each month we host the Nebraska Lutherans for Confessional Study, a serious study of Lutheran theology. We generally meet on the fourth Thursday of each month from 9:30 to 2:30, and both clergy and laity are invited. There is no charge to attend. For more information, please call the church office or visit our website, goodshepherdlincoln.org, and click on the green NLCS tab.
Would you like to help your son or daughter achieve their maximum athletic potential? Hi, this is Jeff Schwarz, General Manager of Lutheran Public Radio. My friend, fellow parishioner, and certified athletic trainer, Kevin Reisick, is the owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. Arch Fitness specializes in sports performance training for middle school to collegiate level athletes. For more information, call Kevin at 618-670-6952. 618-670-6952.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
You know that when your eyes close here, that when they open there, first face you'll see, like the blind man, is Jesus's.
Pastor Chris Roseborough, host of Fighting for the Faith, speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
This is the gospel. It's Jesus. And when you take these texts and make them about you, you miss him. And you leave yourself with no hope. And our hope is in him.
You can listen to Chris's entire presentation and teachings by Craig Parton, Matt Harrison, Al Schmidt, Will Whedon, and Jonathan Fisk on a new audio DVD for the 2014 Making the Case Conference. We'll send it to you for a donation of $300 to Issues Etc. before Labor Day. For more information, look for the DVD logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. Ordinarily, he joins us to talk about Christ in the Old Testament. Today, we're talking and answering the question, is Islam a Christian heresy? Now, you mentioned before that John of Damascus in the 8th century makes a connection between Islam and agnosticism. What is that connection? How should we describe it?
Well, first of all, in Gnosticism, there's this understanding of a secret gnosis, a secret knowledge which is only revealed to a few of the select, and specifically not to the apostles. So the idea is you have to go to a Gnostic teacher to get the full gospel. And so this is why they don't accept all of the writings of the New Testament, the apostolic doctrine, because they say that the apostles didn't know all, it wasn't all revealed to them. So in Gnosticism, Jesus is seen as this great illuminator, not the redeemer. So in Gnosticism, Jesus did not come to redeem the world by being crucified and sacrificed for the sins of mankind. Instead, Jesus came just to illuminate people, just to give them this knowledge of, in Gnostic terms, this idea to understand the reality beyond the physicality that we live in. Now, in the second century, one of the most famous Gnostic teachers, Basilides, he claimed to be the apostle of Matthias, or I should say the disciple of the apostle Matthias. But Basilides specifically said that Jesus only appeared to be human and Jesus was not crucified on the cross. Instead, he taught that Jesus took the image of Simon of Cyrene. So Jesus transformed his own face to look like Simon, and then he transformed the face of Simon of Cyrene to look like Jesus. So the soldiers, when Simon was helping Jesus carry the cross, mistakenly crucified Simon of Cyrene. Now, this is vitally important to understand that Islam, as a Gnostic heresy, says that Jesus was not crucified, that he only appeared to be crucified. And in Islam, they have different theories of how this worked out. And so even in Islam, some of the theories are that it was Judas Iscariot who was mistakenly thinking that people thought that that was Jesus. But the important here message is that in Gnosticism, Basilides said Jesus was not crucified. He did not come to atone for sin. He was just merely an illuminator. And this is what Muhammad says, that Jesus comes to bring Islam. He comes to prepare the way for Muhammad, the greater prophet. So in Islam, it denies the crucifixion for our sins, the resurrection for our justification, and denies the person work of the Holy Spirit, saying that you have to have this secret knowledge that only Muhammad has in the Quran. Just like the Gnostics rejected all the teaching of the apostles, so does Muhammad. And only if you go to Muhammad would you know this secret teaching. And so Muhammad himself will make it clear and openly admit that he is giving a new teaching that is contrary to the prophets and the apostles, which is in direct contradistinction to the apostles, who are constantly saying that they are in unity with the prophets, that they're not teaching a new thing, they're teaching the same thing. But when Muhammad comes on in a kind of a Gnostic way, he's saying he is teaching a new thing, and he alone has this secret revelation, this Quran.
So what we are seeing here, seen in this light, then it's quite clear. Why do you think it's easier for guys like John of Damascus, those who wrote at the time of the Reformation and enumerated Islam by name among Christian heresies, why do you think it's easier for them to see the heretical nature of not just a different world religion, but the heretical nature of Islam, and we don't see it so well today?
I think for the theologians of the past, that they saw all theology as Christology. Even Luther writes a preface to the Quran saying that the customs and the ceremonies of Islam are very impressive, that the Muslims are very devout and they go through all these rituals that are far surpassing any average monk. And so Luther would say, but the issue is not their works and their ceremonies. The issue is their Christology. It's a different Christology. And so you have to go, their Christ does not die for our sins. Their Christ is not the Redeemer of the world. Their Christ does not come to save us. Their Christ only comes to give the teaching of Muhammad, that Muhammad does a better job of than Jesus. And so when you look at this in the historicity of the church, you understand that Muhammad's mentor was actually a Nestorian monk. And so this Nestorian monk is the one who fed Muhammad with this false Christology and this false understanding of who Jesus is and what Jesus does. Because when Muhammad was having these visions, he was convinced that he was possessed by the devil. But yet this Nestorian monk convinced him that it wasn't the devil, it was an angel, and that he should continue to listen to the angel, and it turns out being supposedly the angel Gabriel. But we know that that all things are related to who Jesus is and what Jesus does. If you don't get Christology right, you have a completely different religion. You have a different approach to God. You have a different access to bring the divine favor. But we know that there is no forgiveness of sins apart from the shedding of blood. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. So without the person and work of Jesus, we do not have access to the Father.
Should this be a lesson to us that false teaching, when it flowers into full-blown heresy, can be an extraordinarily dangerous thing, both spiritually and even have implications into the lives of, in this case, hundreds of millions of people who have been led astray by this heresy? Your thoughts there.
I think most assuredly that we should learn from the ancient church that when we teach, confess, and believe who Jesus is, this is the most important thing in our lives, to make clear that we have the same Jesus that the apostles proclaimed. Even the Holy Spirit warned us through the mouth of the apostle Paul to beware of another Jesus, a false Jesus. So in 2 Corinthians 11, Paul says, I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes and proclaims another Jesus than the one we proclaimed, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or if you accept a different gospel from the one you accepted, you will put up with it readily enough. See, the apostles warned us about false Jesus, false Christ that would be proclaimed by false teachers and false prophets. And if we don't take the words of the apostles seriously, we will not be exhorted and admonished to watch out for false prophets and to watch out for a different Jesus than the one that they taught, a Jesus who cannot save, a Jesus who did not take upon flesh in order to die and reconcile creation with the Creator.
So with only 30 seconds here, it sounds like understanding Islam as a Christian heresy not only is a more accurate way of looking at it, it helps us understand Islam better and its great danger, its spiritual danger, but also to understand Christianity and its central teaching better.
I think so. Definitely right now with the rise of Islam in America, we're going to see more advertising that Jesus is a prophet, that Jesus is a Muslim, that you can look for Jesus in the Quran, and they're going to promote Islam as if they believe and love Jesus just like Christianity does, but even better. And so even when we look at all these different Christian sectarian groups, you know, you look at the heretical groups like the Mormons or the Unitarians, they all claim to believe in Jesus, but it's a different Jesus. So we always have to be clear on what Jesus we are trusting in. It has to be the Jesus that the apostles taught, that we preach him crucified, and that's our Jesus.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico. He hosts a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. He made a presentation at last week's Higher Things Youth Conference titled Islam as a Christian Heresy, and he will be back with us on Thursday this week for our Christ in the Old Testament series. We'll talk with him about Besides Me, There Is No Other God from Isaiah chapter 44. Brian, look forward to our next conversation, and thanks for being our guest.
Oh, thanks for having me, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time back in the Old Testament, back to Ruth, a very short little book. We'll get its context, why it's there, this story of, well, a love story, but then more than a love story. Deaconess Elizabeth Allman will be our guest. She's author of a new Bible study titled Ruth, More Than a Love Story. Stay tuned. Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.
Those beautiful notes were just the beginning of We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God, Concordia Publishing House's debut CD collection from Pastor Stephen Starkey, one of the most significant Lutheran hymn writers of our time. For a limited time, save 10% when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music. Brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
Whether building a new home, remodeling an existing home, or tackling the weekend project, it is important to have the materials and advice needed to get the job done. RP Lumber offers estimates for professional building materials and services for drywall, decking, siding, shingles, cabinets, and kitchen and bath design to the general contractor and the individual homeowner. Delivery available with over 50 local community locations for 37 years, RP Lumber.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Zion Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. St. Paul's Lutheran, Long Beach, California. All Saints Lutheran, Charlotte, North Carolina. Redeemer Lutheran, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Shepherd of the Lake Lutheran, Garrison, Minnesota, Emmanuel Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri, and Holy Cross Lutheran, St. Genevieve, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.